wonderful. You may be seated. May Yahweh bless each and every one of you. The articles, we've got to, next week, we've got to have that one article back on what they're saying about Israel, because the news articles are going with it. Some more that I just discovered a few minutes ago. Whew, I got out of breath. I'll get it back. I'm not dead. I got a very important announcement here. I made it last week, and apparently I made it wrong. And so I said, well, write out what you want me to say. So here's what they want me to say. If you want to look put together like the women with your holy garments, men, we can make a matching set of tallit, kippah, and clips for you. Genesis 3:21, women holy garments are holy as Yahweh says. Okay, got that, everybody? I read it just like they said they wanted me to announce it. Now apparently they got some matching sets, women and men. If I didn't, I'll read it again next week. Law schools, I didn't want that one. Oh, I see. Okay. I got to catch up on where I am here. There's something that's very intriguing here. Of course, the news articles that you saw, it just shows how close we're getting here and could go at any time. And, of course, Yahweh's house is coming to perfection, too. So I think by feast, we're going to see a bunch of great changes. I lost a card here I want to find first. Because the great Kohan Hizkiah didn't do a very great job on that chicken. This morning I saw coming in, I kept noticing the people coming in. I thought, you know, it started way before daylight. I hardly ever see anyone before daylight, but when I'm looking out, the cars were coming in, and I thought, man, there must be a lot of people from out of town here. Are there a bunch of people from out of town? Man, the sanctuary is full, but nobody from out of town. Anyway, this barbecued chicken, it's not just chicken with barbecue poured over it, I can guarantee you. This chicken was seasoned, and then it was in a very special seasoning. Its recipe is hidden in a mayonnaise jar somewhere, I'm sure. But especially seasoned, then it was baked overnight, and that's not all. Now they get here early. Maybe that's what all the rush was about this morning. They're getting here early to take that out of the oven and then dip it in another seasoning, and then they had to put it back in the oven for a certain length of time so it will taste absolutely delicious for Yahweh, Yeshua, and all of his donkeys. And those cheese potatoes, if you haven't eaten them yet, they're another great treat. Something else I noticed this morning, I noticed your hair is shining and your nails, wow, look at that. You're going to have to keep them clean now because they're growing fast. That's the men, too. I noticed the women drinking a lot of whey. That'll keep it going. Don't let your nails get dirty. I remember, this one will wake you up. I remember in the broom cornfields, this woman she was wanting to fix up some hand washing things with brushes and some strong lye soap. And she said, Maggie, I swear that some of them men never clean their fingernails except when you cook fried chicken. Finger licking? We serve a lot of fried chicken here. Praise Yahweh. I forgot to bring the aprons. If someone's hearing me, if you'd bring those aprons, I've got them laid out on the table. I'd like to show them. They got the picture that appeared that two women saw over the house of Yahweh, and light coming out the eyes and the mouth. That was my picture that somebody sent to the Lonely Hearts Club, and they rejected it. Got another letter from them. They said, yes, Hawkins, we're lonely, but we're not that lonely. Well, anyway, guess what? That picture, that the stones that the builders rejected, has actually, Yahweh chose it to go over the sanctuary here and show that this is His work. It was pointed out to me that I was arrested in February 2008 for teaching the laws of Yahweh and how we're breaking the laws of Yahweh, how the whole world, all the religions are breaking the laws of Yahweh and causing all kinds of trouble, including these bad storms. Now, these bad storms that you're seeing here, Yahshua predicted this, and he said that it was translated earthquakes, but it means any natural disaster that takes place in the way of storms or flooding or whatever. Now that picture, the next picture that was shown over the sanctuary on the 16th of February. Same month I got arrested, I think it was 4 days, I think I got arrested on the 2nd of February, I think 12th, I mean 12th, then in 2008, well, this picture was chosen to go over in a cloud over the top of the sanctuary this year, February the 16th. Now, that's on the aprons that we will be serving, and the pink. The pink will look really great if the women would all wear white and put this apron over, a serving apron. It's a serving apron. Represents that woman. I hope before this Passover is over, I can get everyone to really desiring to be like that woman. That is the women, because she set a perfect example. And then I'm in hopes all the men are going to be wanting to be exactly like Yahshua. I hear some racket, so I think this is it. If y'all can see this, now show the women first so they won't get jealous of you men. But I saw that this morning on someone, and it really looked great. Here's the one for the men in blue. And the scriptures there are given also. Can you move those? The scriptures there are given also for the clouds. But now, on February, what I was saying, I got arrested on February the 12th, 2008. And I stirred up a hornet's nest, and when I brought a sermon, this sermon, you might remember, it was put out in the prophetic word in 2007, and it's the real cause of global warming. Now, this was put out in 2007. Get that date, because today in today's news, that was 2007. Well, in 2008, some scientists heard this and they started a study. Rain-making bacteria found around the world. The same bacteria that cause frost damage on plants can help clouds to produce rain and snow. Studies on freshly frozen snow suggest that bioprecipitation might be much more common than was suspected. Bio means life. Life precipitation, life in the precipitation. Before a cloud can produce rain or snow, raindrops or ice particles must form. This requires the presence of aerosols, tiny particles that serve as the nuclei for condensation. Most such particles are of mineral origin, but airborne microbes, bacteria, fungi, or tiny algae can do the job just as well. Unlike minerals and aerosols, living organisms can catalyze ice formation even at temperatures close to zero. The effect of the biological ice nucleators on precipitation has been a mystery, not least because no one has yet been able to detect them in the clouds. Well, see, we told everyone they're there. They're alive. The atmosphere, called the firmament in your scriptures, it's alive. It's working to serve mankind. It was made for man. And now what else I told them was their sins is what's causing the atmosphere to be damaged. And now we're having and going to have even more than this. We're going to have worse weather than what we're seeing now. And the scientists now see this. And they're saying there's no way to prepare for it. There's no way you can prepare to save yourself from this kind of weather. He who goes underground will get flooded, flooded out. Those who stay above ground will get blown away. One of the storms is going 170 miles an hour. Another one they clocked at 140 miles an hour. Can you imagine that? I think I'd turn my little old car over, you know. Now a team led by this was 2007 when we put this in the prophetic word. We started bringing it out in sermons before that, but in 2008 this study was started. Now a team led by Brent Krishner, a microbiologist in Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge, has managed to catalog these rain-making microbes by looking at fresh snow collected at various mid- and high-latitude locations in North America, Europe, and Antarctica. Now, here's the great part, I thought, one of them. It is a wake-up call. He says a lot of other stuff here, but I'll just read you this high points, but I want to read you the whole thing before the feast is out. But it's a wake-up call reminding us that some of the most active catalysts in clouds are being widely ignored, says Krister. Biological particles do seem to play a very important part in generating snowfall and rain. Snowfall and rain. Now, hit one more thing I want to read you from this. He says, it is quite plausible that organisms might be using their ice nucleating ability to get out of the atmosphere. Well, he's showing that the atmosphere is unsafe for these microorganisms. And they're trying to get out. They're trying, or being vomited out, as Yahweh put it by the prophets. He says, but humans also have a big effect on these regulatory processes. Changes is land use, forestry, agriculture, such as expanding monoculture, changes in composition of microbes in the atmosphere, and I put such as STDs. Now, of course, these have already been found by other people, so I would ask that these men in Baton Rouge go and check those out, because they have been found, and they do destroy. They latch on and destroy other microbes that are helpful in controlling the firmament, the atmosphere, to keep these storms like you just saw from taking place. The March to War, I don't have time to read it, but we need that the film on Israel shown again next week, and then I'll take time to read this. But this shows that the years 1996 was when it was planned. It was actually planned to take over Syria and expand the borders of Israel. Oral cancer on the rise. Resistance to antibiotics could bring the end of modern medicine as we know it. You see, they're running out of tricks. The fox has a bag of tricks, but they're just about to the limit. We've just about killed all of them. And they have no other place to go now, no other source to turn to. And Satan doesn't have any more answers for them. The only thing she wants to do is destroy all of them. Well, that is the bitter herbs, of course, and that Yahweh talks about, that I hope to get over this feast along with the face of Yahweh, Yahshua, and that woman. This face is being shown more over and in the house of Yahweh than I've ever seen before. If you'll turn over to Numbers, the 11th chapter, Numbers, the 9th chapter, we see here we're approaching Passover, and I think if I use these this week and the next two Sabbaths, we can possibly get through this during the feast, and then this will all be made perfectly clear. But the bitter herbs that we take, I want you to get it established in your mind that sin is what brought this about, and why we have to have the bitter herbs along with the knowledge of Yahshua and what he did bring, and he's now sitting as high priest and king over the house of Yahweh, the last day's work, the seventh light on the seven lamp lampstand. In Numbers 9 and verse 11, he says, on the 14th day of the second moon between the two evenings, they shall sacrifice it. They must eat the lamb with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Well, of course, if I can get it established in your mind that unleavened bread, of course, is bread without sin. Bread is not just ground up wheat and made into a biscuit or light bread. The bread, all the things that maintain and sustain life. It's a life-sustaining foods or substance. Well, of course, that's what manna was, but the true manna that actually gives the life that, where you won't die, that was Yahshua, and that was what was prophesied and shown here in this lamb, that we must eat with bitter herbs in order to prove to Yahweh that we are we are acceptable now for the tree of life that Adam actually rejected. Adam and Cain. Adam, of course, accepted this sin, and this proved a point. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but we'll prove it here later. But the lamb, if you look back to Genesis now, this represented what they were doing with Moshe. He set up the kingdom of Yahweh and was trying to teach and did teach. You know, many people believed and they started practicing the laws of Yahweh. The majority didn't. And of course, that was Yahweh's will that the majority would not. In fact, he said it was hidden from the majority. But those who will, they weren't barred from it, from coming. All the males must be circumcised in heart and flesh. All the females must be circumcised in heart. In order to keep the feast with Yahweh. The circumcision is getting rid of the filthy flesh, getting rid of the filth of the flesh. That's what we've got to do because it's with us. It's great. The lust is great. It's something that we must have throughout all eternity. Sexual drive is great. It's got you wouldn't have any energy if you didn't have it. But it's got to be controlled. And sin is with you. You've just got to control these things that you will have throughout all eternity. You'll have taste, not for pork, I hope. But that's what people do. They turn against Yahweh, and of course their taste buds leads them into. Everything, you know. I mean, and these are things that you can resist. You can control the amount of food you eat. You can control the food you eat and the amount and the kinds and so forth. If you follow the Holy Scriptures in these things, in the foods that you eat, you can't go wrong. If you pay attention to mankind, he's going to have you believing that salt is the worst thing you can eat for your body. And, of course, you get it out of your body and the cancers are going to grow. And, you know, if you fall for that, well, you could get cancer in a very short time. And they'll blame it on other things, you know. They'll say, well, the sun gave it to you. But it's so strange. You know, I've known people, they were in the sun all their life. Had a great tan that I envied, I still envy today, never got cancer. They had this article the other day on sugar. Sugar is one of the healthiest, cane sugar is one of the healthiest things you can put in your body. If you don't use it, you could wind up with sugar diabetes very quickly, in a very short time. You can turn to these stupid sweeteners, non-sugar sweeteners that have no substance for life, you know, it's to me, it's Satan led. They don't produce life. They don't, and they'll tell you on the bottle, don't give these to your hummingbirds. It'll kill them because it'll starve them to death. They're thinking they're eating something that'll produce life and they die because it starves them to death. Put cane sugar in there and they get fat and sassy. Their feathers are pretty and they will hum for you all day long. But they had this article on television where they were saying they followed 22,000 people who ate sugar. And these 22,000 people, a high percentage of them had cardiovascular disease and heart disease. Well, they had a doctor that I was really pleased. He come right behind it and he said, well, this doesn't prove anything. He said, did they see, they don't have here what else these people ate. And he said, you could do without sugar and go out here. And it, then he showed them it eating a hamburger. Well, of course, hamburgers are great for you too. Fried foods are great for you. There's nothing there that will cause cause any sickness that I have been able to prove or read about. And if they would get the meats together and know what's unclean, like pork, and they know that these hamburgers that sold in the marketplaces and the hamburger meat, they have commercials that say, or it's been on the news anyway, that this one person said, you buy this and you really don't know what you're getting here. You don't know what kind of meat you're getting here. Well, of course, this man says, you can load down on this. And I showed the man eating a hamburger and fries that was cooked in lard, where you're getting all the wrong things in your body. But he said they have none of this in this statistics here of 22,000 people. They just know they eat sugar. He said everybody in the world eats sugar. But everybody don't get cardiovascular disease and heart trouble. So they proved nothing, but their propaganda was to get people to stop eating sugar and buy these better than sugar on the market and better than salt on the market and so forth. If you don't really pay attention, you can be badly deceived by these things, like you do with the lamb. Our lamb in Genesis. I want you to turn to Genesis 22 and notice verse 8. Now, you've got to eat the Passover lamb. That is a law. You must eat the Passover lamb, and you've got to eat him with bitter herbs. Yahweh will provide your lamb in verse 8. Yahweh is the one that brought about the lamb that was spotless, without spot, and without wrinkle, as the as one of the apostles put it. Without spot and without blemish. If you look at turn over to Yochanan 1. Now we're getting ready to partake of this, and of course there's deception on this too. They got one better than the plan of Yahweh, and they're wanting everybody to get out here and find them a lamb without blemish. It's impossible, but Yahweh's already found your Passover lamb without blemish. He raised him up. Praise Yahweh. We are going to eat him. In fact, we've been eating him now for somebody said the other day yesterday was the 30th anniversary of the House of Yahweh being established in Abilene 30 years ago. To me, it doesn't seem that long. It seemed the time just flies, I know. But it seems like to me maybe 10 years ago or something like that. But they said that 30 years ago we established the House of Yahweh with the governments of the land, legally established it. And well, here in First Yochanan, now remember, you've got to eat the Passover lamb with bitter herbs. With bitter herbs shall you eat it. Well, of course, the bitter herbs that they eat, that the children of Israel ate coming out of Egypt, was symbolic of this. But that bitter herbs they were going through when they were in Israel, when they were in Egypt, it's bondage. It's a house of bondage, and it is what we're suffering today. What all the world is suffering today. There is no certainty in life. Nuclear war could start tomorrow. There are so many things that can go wrong. You could be asleep in your own house and a truck drives through it. That's taking place on the news. We're having people assaulted in their own homes. This week on the news, it was filled with robberies, illegal entries, people shooting one another, drive-by shootings. Two people were driving up and down the road shooting at each other and hitting other cars and houses with their bullets. That there's the world is getting so sick, and they had these very young people. They showed them breaking into houses and stealing, the news was filled with it. And when you, if you turn on the morning news, I'm told, if you turn on the police report, they say it takes about 30 minutes to go through the crimes that took place overnight. And they don't have enough police officers to cover it. They tell the people it may be 3 months before we can assign anyone to this burglary or whatever you had, car theft or whatever. And here's the man driving the car up and down the road, 100 miles an hour, about to wreck it. And they we don't have an officer assigned to it. This is the shape we're getting in. We don't have medicines to cover your illnesses anymore. Of course, we never have. All we've had, and they want to lie about it, there's no cures for cancer. You can't find a cure for cancer on the market. It's not something that is just now playing out. We've never had it. But the bugs are getting so strong that there's nothing to fight them anymore. They've run out of bugs to fight the bugs. And that's all they can do anyway. They don't have the power of creation, and they don't have the creation working for them anymore. In fact, the earth is about to vomit the whole mess out. That's what we're seeing in the world today. Well, here now, in Genesis 22:8, Yahweh plainly says, and this was a prophecy given by Abraham, and of course, in Genesis 22:8 is a prophecy given by Abraham. Abraham will be in the kingdom, Yahshua said. He said, you will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom, and you yourselves cast out those who reject Yahweh's laws, cast out. Well, here in Yochanan now, 1 in verse 17, he says, for the law was given through Moshe that the truth and salvation should come through Yahshua Messiah. And of course, those people couldn't make it. They didn't have anyone. A lamb couldn't pay for their sins. They'd given up their life by sin. That's what Adam did. And then he was driven out. Now imagine this. He's driven out from the face of Yahweh. Cain left the face of Yahweh. Bars were placed to protect the tree of life to keep anyone from getting back in. Now, if you think about this, Yahweh proved a point right here it was an intentional thing that he made man subject to sin. And then he's going to teach man that what sin will actually produce, and from that he will pull out people who will actually yield to his laws, as you have and are doing right now. And now this makes the face of Yahweh, which is his laws, statutes, and judgments, shine upon you. Now the world hates this. The world hates the laws of Yahweh. And you start teaching the laws of Yahweh, and the world will hate you, as they're doing right now. they hated this so much when this article came out, and we showed the real cause of global warming was the sexual sins of the world, and it's getting into the atmosphere, STDs and so forth. And then that's when they arrested me, hoping to stop the work of Yahweh, but of course they failed, and as Yahweh said they would. But here he shows that Moshe showed that salvation and truth would come through Yahshua. Well, of course, Moshe knew, and he even prophesied that after my departure, he said, I know that you're not going to stick with the laws of Yahweh. You're stiff-necked and rebellious people. Well, so was Adam. Adam repented later. Cain did not repent. He kept going in the same ways of war, and that's what you see in the earth today. And, of course, then Yahweh brought a flood because the earth got so bad in that few years, and there was nothing left but one family that was close to Yahweh. So he wiped everything out off the face of the earth, and he saved one family. And from that one family, don't let anyone fool you, from that one race of people comes forth what you see here today all over the world. No new races at all. How to divide the people? By language. Get that in your head. By language. That's how he divided them. They're all the same. Every one of us is the same. Every man, woman, and child. They all came from that one race of people. There is no different races. Well, what we see today is what was also foretold in Genesis 49. Genesis 49, what we would see in these 12 tribes. It's all over the world right now, what we're seeing. The ruthlessness, the lust for other people's property, for oil in particular, because there's so much money in oil. Trillions of dollars. And of course, contracts are made, and they intend to uphold those contracts, the United States and Britain does. The quartet does. The quartet is out to bring the world down. They don't know that's what they're going to do. They got other things in mind that they want, and they're going to get it. But what they're actually going to bring about is four-fifths of the earth's population destroyed. Well, this is the bitter herbs that we've got to put up with in the world today. The bitter herbs, and that's what bitter herbs represent. But we've got to learn the lesson, and we learn it with bitter herbs. And we've got to eat Yahshua, which is the face of Yahweh, the righteousness that comes from keeping his laws. He did it perfectly. You boys pay attention now to me. Yahshua did it perfectly. He's our example. He set another example and told us that was a great example from that woman, which we'll see more of that. There's a lot on this, a lot. You're going to be greatly wanting to be like her when you see everything that took place. But here now, he says that Moshe prophesied this, that the truth and salvation would come through Messiah. Well, if you look on over to verse 29, Yochanan says, he says, the next day Yochanan saw Yahshua coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh." Remember, Abraham prophesied in Genesis 22:8 that Yahweh would provide the Lamb. He would provide it. Yahweh did provide it. It was a great breeding program that took place from that time clear down to now, through Abel, through the teaching of Abel, then from Abraham, Noah, to Abraham, and then clear down to Yosef and Miriam. And Yahweh provided that lamb, the Lamb of Yahweh. And remember this, don't let anyone fool you otherwise. "This is he of whom I said, the one coming after me has become in front of me because he is my head." He is my head, the head of the house of Yahweh, the priest, high priest, the high priest. And if you read about the high priest and what they did, Moshe was given the kingdom of Yahweh to set up, and the high priest and his duties, and the other priest and their duties. Now, if you look at Exodus, go back to Exodus again, Exodus 12, and remember what we just read there. And don't let anything interrupt you, because the foundation is laid here. It must be followed. In Exodus 12 now, we see here, let's start with verse 1. "And Yahweh said to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This moon shall be to you the beginning of moons. It shall be the first moon of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of the first moon, each man shall take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for the lamb, let him or his brothers next to his house share it, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with the each person will eat. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you must keep it up until the 14th day of the same moon. Then the whole multitude of the congregation of Israel shall kill it. The whole multitude of the congregation of Israel killed Yahshua, hung him on the stake. Between the two evenings they did this. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the side post to the top of the door frames of the houses in which they eat the lamb, and they shall eat the meat in the night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs. Now this is representing without sin. Unleavened bread is bread without sin, substance of life, without the death being in it. Leavening is represented as sin, the sins of Egypt. Unleavened bread is a substance of life, which Yahshua is to us because he paid for our sins. So you're to eat it, but along with the bitter herbs, you are to eat it. If it wasn't for the bitter herbs, we'd be right back to where Adam was. And if they tried it, if Yahweh tried to bring his plan through without the bitter herbs, we'd be right back in Adam's shoes, and the whole world would be going the wrong way. Again, once this thing is established with unleavened bread, bringing about unleavened bread, that is, a substance of life, bringing this about in everyone, then you will thirst no more. I'm the manna that came down from heaven, Yahshua said. His body didn't come down from heaven, no. But he was produced, the plan was made, and it was produced from Yahweh and came down to this earth and was produced on this earth from Yahweh. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs shall you eat it. This will bring you to perfection. This should show anyone. If you go back, we got time for two more scriptures, I think. If you go over to Isaiah now, Isaiah 16, and get what the prophets have added here, you still can't get the whole thing until you use Yahshua's works and the apostles' works, the foundation that they laid for us. All of that is necessary. If our forefathers had have had what Yahshua gave to us, they would have been able to have understood this. But they didn't have it. And Yahshua had to come at a certain time and be killed, and his disciples had to produce a work. But that work that they produced was not put together till the 16th century. Just a few years ago. And then it was given to his house then a few years after that. So Yahweh could in the last days establish his house based on the foundations of the prophets and apostles, with Yahshua being the chief cornerstone. But all of this didn't come together back in the days of our forefathers. It developed one step at a time. This was a plan from heaven. It came down from heaven. And Yahshua was the ultimate of that plan. And now he sits at the right hand of Yahweh as our high priest and king. Well, here in Isaiah 16 now, praise Yahweh, and start with verse 1. Look at verse 1. Send the lamb to the ruler of the land. Send the lamb, he says. Look on, you could read the rest of that, but he'd be betrayed. But look on over to verse 5. He said, in mercy will the throne be established. In mercy. Who showed mercy more than Yahshua? I tell you, that man was perfect in everything he did. And if you just see, and you imagine this woman that was dragged up in front of Yahshua and said she was caught in adultery. And of course, he showed them that this woman is caught up in the ways that you yourself are in. You yourself are as guilty as this woman that you're bringing to me and asking me, would I stone this woman or command them to stone the woman? Well, of course, that was the high priest's job. The high priest was the one that commanded that Yahshua be crucified. And that was his job to command this, for a person to be stoned. And of course, they came to him and said, here is a sinner, this deep sinner. And Yahshua said, well, let him who is without sin then first cast a stone at this woman. And then he turned to the woman and said, no, I don't condemn you. The woman was caught up in the world. She had been taught what the world is teaching the whole world today, but with excellence today through television and songs of all kinds. I got to hating the songs of the world so much. I saw how it brought sin in, and please help me guard this. Guard our songs. We've once again started bringing music into the house. If you'll help me guard it and keep sin out of it, make sure that no sin enters in. Don't even give it a minute. Don't give it a yod or a tittle to get in to this music ever again. Praise Yahweh. Well, in mercy, bring the lamb, and in mercy will the throne be established in mercy. And he will sit upon it in truth. And of course, he brought truth to Jerusalem, to Israel. And a lot of people accepted this, and they were slaughtered later. They'll have their place, of course, later in eternal life. And Yahweh will give them eternal life. And all of those who died upholding the laws of Yahweh, he will set upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hastening righteousness. Hastening righteousness. Now that is the lamb that Yahweh caused Abraham to speak of. Look on over to chapter 53 of this same one. We won't read all of this. I know my time is up, but you can get this much established for next week's sermon. Isaiah 53, and look at verse 7. He says, he was oppressed, he was afflicted. These are the bitter herbs that Yahshua had to go through. The bitter herbs. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb. He was the lamb. He was led as the lamb of Yahweh to the slaughter, to be slaughtered. And as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was put in prison. I'm glad I had to go through that. I'm glad Yahweh put me through that. I don't want it again. I hate all the ways of the world. Me and the Prince of Darkness have nothing in common at all. I don't want anything to do with her. This woman that Yahshua talked about, that we'll give her name, I've told the great Kohen Yehuda that I would let him bring everything but the name. I want to give you the name myself. But I told him that he would bring this, and he said, "Well, I'll have to have two sermons to bring all of this, because I keep giving him more every day." And he said, "There's no way I can cover this in one sermon." We'll get it in. But now this feast, we've got 7 days of the feast, and then it ends on a Friday. The sixth day ends the feast. But now we got a Sabbath following that, the weekly Sabbath. And what I was suggesting to the kitchen this week, if everybody agrees, or even if you don't agree, I guess it'd be all right. But we was talking about having a community meal here in the sanctuary on the Sabbath, weekly Sabbath of that. Praise God. Unanimous. My mouth is watering already because I got a hint of what's going to be served at Seder too. If everybody agrees, if we could get the women to wear all white during that time, I want to get a bunch of pictures of this to use, of course, and to promote Yahweh's house as we've been doing. Of course, the men will have on this serving apron themselves that night. All the men will. Everybody's going to have those. And they can take them home with them, and then we'll send them a bill later for the. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back over to the next speaker. I love you.